So three, action. Based on IMDb and Sight and Sound, Return of the Disc presents a miniseries, the top 250 films starring two nerds who know each other pretty well, brought their separate lists together, not combining them. They're separate, but they're going to talk about movies. As always, I'm Dan. Joining me is Tom, and I'm so happy you're here for episode three to continue on. I'm glad you didn't bail on me, and we're wearing the same outfits, I just realized, as last week, but that's okay. That's show business.
Yeah, it's because we're filming back to back.
You know what? We'll just tell them, I guess. Full disclosure, we filmed back to back. All right, sir. Would you like to go first this time, starting at 200?
Sure. Yeah, so this is 200 through 176.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, so my number 200 is Sin City. Robert Rodriguez faithfully adapts Frank Miller's pulpy comic book crime graphic novels, The Hard Goodbye, That Yellow Bastard, and The Big Fat Kill. An ensemble cast, fully CGI environments before that was the norm, fun and dripping with cheese.
True that.
199, High Spirits. Ignore Vampire's Kiss. You can only get this on Blu-ray with Vampire's Kiss. So, the normally very dramatic director Neil Jordan delivers a goofy supernatural comedy set in Ireland, a St. Patrick's Day favorite of mine. Peter O'Toole runs a failing Airbnb out of his family castle and decides to fake a haunting to drum up business. Hijinks ensue. When the fraud is exposed, the ghosts of Castle Plunkett wake up and begin haunting the castle for real. Hijinks ensue. We just actually watched this earlier this week because of St. Patrick's Day. 198, Mary and Max. Mary is a lonely girl living in rural Australia. Max is a lonely man living in New York City. Mary finds Max's name at random in the phone book, and they become unlikely pen pals. Stop-motion animated with dark moments that deal with suicide and alcoholism, the movie is ultimately a whimsical memoir of a wonderful friendship.
Wow, I've never heard of that.
I really like this movie. It's very cute. I believe it's rated R.
It sounds good. Not
rated. Yeah, they show Max's penis. I mean, it's like animated, but like they show his penis at one point. So, you know, it's a weird film. Not your typical film. Yeah. 197. PG, Psycho Goreman. An alien warlord exiled to Earth falls under the control of a pair of children, a la The Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy. Bloody hijinks ensue. Darkly hilarious and a Power Rangers aesthetic, the movie just gets me.
Wow. Very surprised.
I love that movie.
I hated a little girl's performance.
Okay.
That's fair.
196, The Rocky Horror Picture Show. The cult musical starring Tim Curry as the transvestite vampire alien Frankenfurter, who creates a hot monster for him to fuck, but who unfortunately for all involved turns out to be straight. Delightfully strange and strangely universal classic. I got to see that with the shadow cast, like in a theater where, and like, yeah, it was great. I had never seen it that way before. Very fun.
Wow.
Oh, wait, that was 194. So that's where I stopped.
Ah, okay. 200 for me. Starting at number 200, Fight Club from 1999. Might be my favorite David Fincher film. Cool soundtrack, editing, and that twist. The first rule of Fight Club is don't spoil a Fight Club. All right, my next one is people call it a classic. 199, E.T.
Mm-hmm.
Spielberg classic. It still makes me cry at the end. I just find it every time I watch it, I find it odd that this movie became a hit, because the alien's not really that attractive, or like, you know, cute
no.
or cuddly. Yeah. Like, he's more creepy than cute and cuddly. And I just, you look at how much money it made and how popular it became, and it's just, I was like, wow, this, I don't know, man. I just don't know if it came out today, it would be the same effect. But great performances, great score. I mean, classic. The next one is another classic, 198, Nightmare on Elm Street, Haunting Your Dreams. This is the original Wes Craven Nightmare. This is part of the collection, of course, that I have here that Freddy tried to snatch me with. But yeah, man, I really appreciate the low budget scares on the original. It's definitely like we talked about Halloween being inspiring. Nightmare on Elm Street is just the same. And I think it's got a richer, the idea of dreams and all that really, it kind of grabs my attention. Somebody that we've all had nightmares. So it's kind of,
yeah.
I don't know. It's really relatable on that level.
Mm-hmm.
197 is from 2004, Garden State, Zach Braff's pictorial debut, an awesome soundtrack. This was the hipster film of the early 2000s, which is very true. 196, Jack Nicholson, like we've never seen him before, in About Schmidt from 2002. He plays a normal man living in Nebraska who just retired and has regrets of dreams unrealized. He hits the road to stop his daughter's wedding in this dark comedy from Alexander Payne. So I think that's probably like my third Alexander Payne already. I don't know.
Yeah, well, yeah, you had a lot so far.
I got to take a prescription. don't know, bad jokes. All right. What's your next five?
Okay. My number 195 is Red Eye. The 4K is coming soon. Wes Craven's Hitchcockian thriller stars Rachel McAdams as a hotel manager threatened by a terrorist, Killian Murphy, to aid him in a political assassination while the two sit together aboard a red-eye flight to Miami. Underrated both in Craven's filmography and in 2000s movies in general, Red Eye is a delight whenever I revisit it.
Awesome.
194. The Invisible Man, 1933, based on the novel by H.G. Wells, director James Whale. Based on the novel by H.G. Wells, director James Whale leaned into the silliness while not straying away from the horror of the novel. Claude Rains gives a magnificently unhinged performance as Griffin, the titular Invisible Man.
Nice.
193, House, 1977. This is actually Ian's copy, but whenever we move out from each other, I'll get one. Hopefully they'll have done a 4K or something. I don't know. A group of live-action anime girls. Yeah. A group of live-action anime girls go to a haunted country house where they all die. Gloriously demented and insane moment to moment, one of the girls is devoured by a piano. This movie is unlike any other I've ever seen. Any other? I don't know. I was real messy on this bit.
It's all good.
Yeah.
All good. House.
Number 192, The Passion of Joan of Arc, 1928. Renée Jean is phenomenal as the tragic Joan of Arc on trial for her life. Use light in close-ups and actual trial transcriptions. This look at the final days in the life of Joan of Arc is a moving portrait of a woman in a misogynist system and one of the best silent films ever made.
One thing that got me in that movie was the close-ups. Like the power of the close-up in that movie. Mm-hmm. Man.
I think the majority of the movie is close-ups.
Yes.
Which is kind of unusual, but it was really well done. And then number 191 is 1917. Sam Mendes presents this World War I epic in one seemingly unbroken take. Two officers tasked with relaying a message to stop a division from going into a fatal trap. have to trek through no man's land in German-occupied territory, all while under a ticking clock. Features strong stunning cinematography by Roger Deakins, an excellent war movie.
Nice.
Yeah.
Coming in at 195 for me, Ridley Scott directs Denzel Washington and Russell Crowe in 2007's American Gangster. Denzel plays the gangster and Russell Crowe plays an up-and-coming lawyer. The two don't even share screen time until the final hour, but it works to tremendous effect. It's also based on a true story. 194 from 1982, struggling actor due up for a role change. Tootsie, also Dustin Hoffman, plays an out-of-work actor struggling to find his big break. He finally goes for it and embraces his inner woman. And Tootsie, finding fame on a daytime soap opera. This movie's kind of outrageous and still provides some quality laughs. Bill Murray's in here and Jessica Lange. The next one is from 1993, one that I grew up with watching, Rudy from 1993. Hard work, determination, and effort, the true story of a Notre Dame legend. The score by Jerry Goldsmith is uplifting and elevates the subject material. A fan favorite for me as a kid. 192 from 1987, directed by Brian De Palma, The Untouchables. It is an American crime film. Written by David Mamet. The film is loosely based on the book, the same name, and real-life events. Stars Kevin Costner, Sean Connery, Robert De Niro, Andy Garcia. So it's a lot of fun, a lot of De Palma. Scored by Marconi.
Mm-hmm.
And coming in at 191, Buster Keaton, classic, The General. Truly the power of visual motion pictures is like demonstrated in these silent films. Like you said, with Joan of Arc, you know, the General's an action movie with daring stunts that I think people don't even pull off today or attempt unless you're Tom Cruise. Buster Keaton was one of those pioneers. All right, man.
I'll have to see that one.
You haven't seen The General? Oh.
I haven't seen The General. I haven't seen any Buster Keaton, actually.
That's the one I would show you first.
So. Okay. Number 190, Metropolis.
Speaking Fritz of silent Lang's, films.
Yeah. Fritz Lang's silent sci-fi epic full of iconic imagery and unflinching social commentary, a technical marvel. I just love the robot too. Like, she's so cool.
I started watching that the other night and my dog started attacking the screen.
You know, it's funny because like I couldn't tell you like what all happens in the movie. I watched it like two or three times and I'm like, I couldn't fully explain the plot. I could explain like some of the world and like some of the random stuff that happens, but like it's a lot.
It is.
189, eighth grade. Bo Burnham tells the story of Kayla, played by Elsie Fisher, an average eighth grader about to become a high schooler, struggling to fit in and dealing with social media. Surprisingly, a vulnerable portrait in a truly remarkable film. I actually, you know, I put this on here initially, and then I was like, oh, I don't know, is this as good as I remember? And I put it on, and I was like, oh, I'm just going to skim it. I'll watch a few scenes here and there. And I watched the whole thing. So I was like, okay, well, then it's got to stay. Uh, 188 is Die Hard, just the first one. Bruce Willis, Alan Rickman, a taut action thriller about a heist slash hostage situation and the NYPD detective who seriously fucks with their plans. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Yeah, classic, man.
Yeah. I mean, like, my relationship has changed with it in, like, recent years because of, like, police shootings and shit. And it is basically police propaganda in a way, but, like, still a great movie.
thought you were going to say because you live in LA now.
Yeah, that's true too. But I don't really think that affects it that much. I mean, it kind of could have been set anywhere, honestly. Like, they're inside the whole time. 187 Monsters, Inc. Pixar presents the story of Mike and Sully, Billy Crystal and John Goodman, who work for a monster power company that collects children's screams for energy. When the two accidentally encounter a human child, Boo, comedy and conspiracy ensue. Heartwarming and hilarious. Okay. 186. Once Upon a Time in America, Sergio Leone.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're ahead of me. Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. 186, Once Upon a Time in America, Sergio Leone's gangster epic starring Robert De Niro and James Woods, taking them from teenagers to old men, a testament on violence and renouncing violence. And that was 186. So, yeah, that's where I stop.
All right. I am starting at 190. Sing Street from 2016. Awesome original song set in the 80s. United Kingdom, about a teenager who dreams of a girl and making it as a punk rocker. Just a fun, uplifting movie. Really came out of nowhere in 2016. I really enjoyed it.
Tell that one.
189, Mario Bava, Black Sunday. This was my first introduction to Mario Bava.
Mine too.
Really enjoy it. Awesome set pieces, of course, and just awesome cinematography, black and white. What's the lady's name? Barbara Steele is amazing in this. And we mentioned Network prior on a prior episode of 188 is Network. I still have my used sticker on there. it's a satire. But I think it's become more realistic now with the way news is. Mm-hmm. Peter Finch discovers he's being pushed out and he decides to threaten to kill himself. And it becomes this big hit on network TV. And the producer, Faye Dunaway, runs it. And it still holds up as a funny movie, dramatic, and still really relevant. My 187 from 1988, Cinema Paradiso. So a young Salvatore discovers a perfect escape from life in this war-torn Sicilian village, the Cinema Paradiso movie house, where projectionist Alfredo instills in the boy a deep love of film. He goes on to be a filmmaker himself. And it's just a beautiful movie.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly the scene where, like, Alfredo's like, no, you have to go do this thing. You just, you know, don't even talk to me again or something like that. I was like, holy crap, this movie's it's on the, gets you at the feels, man. I don't know. But I've only seen the extended cut or whatever. I think the 3-hour cut. I think the other one's shorter.
That's the only version I've really watched. Yeah. I mean, I put on the theatrical cut once, but I wasn't fully paying attention. So I missed that they didn't do some of the stuff from the director's cut.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, and 186 from 1987, RoboCop, a violent near-apocalyptic Detroit evil corporation, Omniconsumer Products, wins a contract from the city government to privatize the police force to test their crime, eradicating cyborgs. The company leads street cop Alex Murphy, played by Peter Weller. This one, the first one, is just so graphic and violent. It just really threw me off in the best of ways. Really enjoyed RoboCop.
That was 181? Or sorry, 186. Hell yeah. Okay. My 185 is Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, 1933. The best film adaptation of the novella by Robert Louis Stevenson, a pre-code horror story that makes the sexual subtext of the original story, text, and explores Jekyll's motivations for becoming Hyde. Number 184 is Notorious. 1946, an espionage thriller from Alfred Hitchcock, starring Cary Grant, Claude Rains, and Ingrid Bergman. Asked to infiltrate Rains' Nazi organization, Bergman becomes Rains' wife while falling in love with Grant, one of Hitchcock's best. The suspense is unrelenting until the film's final moments. There's also basically no action, which is kind of unusual for of this type, but like, I don't think anyone even pulls a gun. It's all just really tense, will she be found out sort of conversations. So it really goes to the Hitchcock's talent that he's able to take that and make it as thrilling as it is. All right. Number 183, Dario Argento's Deep Red. Dario Argento's giallo masterpiece, a club piano player witnesses the brutal murder of a woman in her apartment and becomes embroiled in the investigation. Filled with surreal moments like the appearance of an automaton, which is never mentioned again, Deep Red is dripping with atmosphere and propelled by a goblin score.
Wow. Yeah.
You gotta get to the automaton. It's so random.
Good old goblin.
Yeah. Number 182, the Bourne trilogy. Matt Damon stars as Jason Bourne, the CIA hitman who got amnesia from a bullet wound that left him unconscious in the Mediterranean Sea. This amnesia brings about a new conscience in Bourne and leads him to break from his CIA handlers. A fantastic action trilogy that deals with PTSD, memory, morality, and in a major blockbuster dares to paint the CIA in a negative light in the post 9/11 landscape. And then we're real close. Number 181, RoboCop.
Oh, wow.
Wacky and bloody, Peter Weller stars as a cop gunned to pieces who is put back together as RoboCop in Paul Verhoeven's sci-fi satire. Funny, exciting, and yet biting, a truly masterful balancing of tone.
Nice. That was close.
Yeah. When you said that, I was like, oh, shit. I forgot, like, which one we were at, like, who was ahead of who. Because if you had been ahead of me, we would have had it in the same number. You know, obviously we didn't, but you know
what I meant. Yeah. That's funny, man. That's I'm sure we'll have a couple other close calls.
Yeah.
185. I can guarantee we're not going to have another close call this episode, probably. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
But 185 from 1984, The Pope of – I'm covering it up because it's Mickey Rourke double feature. The Pope of Greenwich Village, because – A Desperate Hour is pretty bad. Pope of Greenwich Village stars Eric Roberts and Mickey Rourke as cousins, and they plan to rob a merchant in New York City neighborhood that's home of the restaurant where they work. When their scheme results in the death of a police officer and draws the mafia-linked businessman who they wanted to rip off, his girlfriend, played by Daryl Hannah, bolts, and the mob henchmen extract a brutal price on both the cousins. So quite a character piece from Eric Roberts and Mickey Rourke here. They have just unique chemistry. It's one of my favorite movies from the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
The next one is 184, jumping back into comic books. X-Men Days of Future Past, the Rogue Cut from 2014. Convinced that mutants pose a threat to humanity, Trask, played by Peter Dinklage, develops the Sentinels. And Wolverine has to go back in time to kind of convince the young group. So you're combining like first class X-Men cast with the original trilogy X-Men cast in this movie. Mm-hmm. Brilliant. I thought that was just a brilliant take on the comic. Really enjoyed the performances here by everybody. And it's just really well done. One of the better X-Men installments.
Yeah,
I think it's probably, since I have it higher than X2, well, there's one more that's technically an X movie that I have higher, but yeah, this is definitely a really good X-Men movie.
And, you know, I would agree with your ranking. X2 and Days of Future Past did not end up on my list, but those are the next two best X-Men movies.
And hitting at 183, The Wedding Singer from 1998. These movies are okay below, but The Wedding Singer is just a charming movie set in the 80s. You have Adam Sandler playing a wedding singer, down on his luck. He can't find love in his life, but he sings about love for a job. And he ends up falling for one of the waitresses played by Drew Barrymore. And Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore have such awesome chemistry in this. It's just, you know, awesome 80s soundtrack. It's a feel-good movie. One of my favorite rom-coms.
Oh, yeah.
Sticking with comedies, 182 is Dumb and Dumber. My Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels star together here. There is, speaking of quotable movies, Dumb and Dumber is up there, I would say. And it's just one of the better comedies from the 90s. Jim Carrey had a hell of a year in 1994 with Ace Ventura, The Mask, and Dumb and Dumber, all in the same year. Launched him onto the star he would become. And Jeff Daniels playing against type, being more of a dramatic actor, playing in a comedy, it just works. Just a great movie. 181, another 90s film, another potentially classic for the children. The Sandlot, 1993 coming of age sports comedy that tells the story of a group of young baseball players in the summer of 62. Some great stuff in here. Great lines, like, you know, forever, you know, you're killing me, Smalls. And James Earl Jones shows up here as the blind man with the evil dog. Just, you know, a good summer flick. All right.
All right.
What's your final stack?
All right. My number 180 is Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, 1971. A young boy, Charlie, wins one of five golden tickets, which allows him to tour the chocolate factory of the reclusive slave owner, Willy Wonka, played with charm and detachment by Gene Wilder. Whimsical and leaving you continually off the magnificent children's movie of the era. The Oompa Loompas.
It's kind of creepy, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the Oompa Loompas in the original were pygmies. So, like,
oh,
you know, he's literally like a slave owner in the novel. Mm. 179, The Prestige, Christopher Nolan's period epic of warring magicians, Christian Bale and Hugh Jackman. This movie is a mindfuck and uses the period setting for a piece of retro sci-fi introduced by Nikola Tesla, played to perfection by David Bowie.
That's a good one.
I like that one. Number 176, The Nice Guys. Shane Black's throwback crime caper stars Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling as a detective odd couple among an incredible supporting cast with a tightly written, hilarious script. Number 177 is Macbeth, 1971. Made between Rosemary's Baby and Chinatown by Roman Polanski after the murder of his pregnant wife, Sharon Tate, by the Manson family, Macbeth takes one of Shakespeare's darkest tales and channels into that darkness to present a grim and violent and frighteningly spooky medieval Scotland. The best version of the Scottish play. We should honestly just stop adapting it. Polanski nailed it. And then number 176... Twin Peaks, Fire Walk With Me. David Lynch used his feature film following the cancellation of the revered ABC series Twin Peaks to take a closer look at the final days of Laura Palmer, the girl who begins the series murdered and wrapped in plastic. Freed from the constraints of network television, Lynch goes for the jugular, crafting some of the most disturbing moments put to film. Cheryl Lee is fantastic as Laura Palmer. And that's my list.
That's it. Wow. Well done. Coming in at 180 is a movie that's very similar in It came before this. It came before Booksmart, but it's very similar. It's Superbad. Similar as in you have two best friends who are about to part, go to separate colleges, and take on college life outside of high school. Jonah Hill and, what's that guy's name? Michael Cera.
Yeah.
Here are best friends, and they want to find alcohol. So they have a friend named McLovin who's really confident and memorable. And I think that's the most memorable thing about the movie is McLovin. He goes in and he's so confident, he has fake ID, wants to get alcohol for this party. And one of the few other stars of this is Emma Stone. That's probably the first movie I saw her in. Superbad's just, you know, it's a fun comedy, a coming of age sex comedy that I enjoy.
Yeah.
My next one is 179, Walking the Edge, from a Los Angeles cabbie played by Robert Forster, helps a widow gain revenge on a killer and his gang. So this was a surprise. I went down a Robert Forster hole after seeing Jackie Brown, came across this exploitation film. It's graphic. It's really graphic. There's, I think there's a rape scene, lots of gore, but it's definitely rewarding by the end. Joe Spinell from Maniac and Rocky is in this as well as the gangster. Number 178, Lady Snowblood, the one that inspired Kill Bill, an epic revenge tale. Just, it's so good. I watched it again with my dad over Christmas, and it's just so well done. It's just so, such a great like revenge kung fu film. 177, another one that I've still find really relevant to this day, and I can't believe it was made in 1957. Facing the Crowd, Andy Griffith. This is his feature film debut before he went and did the Andy Griffith Show as a nice guy. He plays a psychopath in this, and he is just a monster, and he gives a hell of a performance. I think he should have won the Oscar. He plays Larry Lonesome Rhodes, who basically becomes this on-air radio sensation and becomes so full of himself that he like just believes that his ego can take him anywhere, and his ego becomes his downfall. It's just an amazing ending that I think it just still holds up. It's just masterfully done. We could probably pair that with Network and have a great double feature. And 176, still kind of relevant. It's a satire on the electoral process. Election from 1999. Another Alexander Payne movie starring Matthew Broderick and Reese Witherspoon. Reese Witherspoon plays this high uppity, high energy go-getter, ambitious young woman. And the teacher, played by Matthew Broderick, can't stand her. And he wants to, he basically sabotages the election for student council. And things spiral out of control out of there. It's very an adult comedy, but also like satires are electoral process. So, yeah, man, like that's the end of episode 3.
Hell yeah,
man, that flew by.
We went faster this time, like by about 10 minutes.
Yeah. Well,
all right, yeah. Well, we'll see you next
guys,
time.
Guys, let us know your thoughts. Let your thoughts below. And we'll see you next time for episode 4, where we continue on from 175 and up, or less.
It's 175 through 151.
175 through 151, as Tom says. Thank you, Tom, for being better at math. Anyways, yeah, thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.
All right. Bye.